come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. Each of my guests will discuss one of these two topics. My next guest has been called the High Priest of Political Mischief, a Republican Party consultant turned libertarian. He's influenced elections from Richard Nixon to George W. Bush. Roger Stone is a legendary American Republican political consultant who has played a key role in the elections of Republican presidents from Richard Nixon to Ronald Reagan to George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. Long an outspoken libertarian Republican, Roger stunned the political world when he announced that he would leave the GOP over its lurch to the far right on social issues and join the Libertarian Party. Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson will be on the ballot in all 50 states. Roger became a Goldwater zealot in grade school after a neighbor gave him Barry Goldwater's Conscience of a Conservative. Roger was elected Young Republican National Chairman in 1977. Roger was the youngest member of the staff in President Richard Nixon's re-election campaign in 1972, the notorious CREEP, which stood for Committee for Re-electing the President. In 1978, Roger co-founded the National Conservative Political Action Committee, NCPAC, where he is credited with developing the negative campaign into an art form and pioneering the use of negative campaign advertising, which Roger calls comparative, educational, not negative. In 2000, Roger is credited with hardball tactics that resulted in the closing of the Miami-Dade presidential recount, fomenting the so-called Brooks Brothers riot, in which a Republican mob swarmed the recount demanding a shutdown, while thousands of Cuban Americans marched outside the courthouse demanding the same thing. The New York Times and the Miami Herald reported that it was Roger who first tipped off the FBI to Governor Elliot Spitzer's use of prostitutes. Roger is the editor and publisher of The Stone Zone, joining us from the East Coast. Hi, Roger. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Terrific to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. And with your vast experience and all of your work in the various campaigns, we'll just start with the obvious question. Who do you think is going to win the 2012 presidential election?
Well, I do think it's very close. The developments of the last couple of days are pretty extraordinary. You see, I thought till now, John McCain ran the single worst presidential campaign in U.S. history. I no longer think that. I think Mitt Romney has now grabbed that title. I am a lifetime Goldwater Ronald Reagan Republican. I ran National Youth for Reagan in 1976 when he challenged President Gerald Ford. I was the Northeastern Regional Political Director in 1980 when he won the presidency, and I reprised that same role again in 1984. So despite the fact that I'm an admirer of the tenacity and indestructibility of Richard Nixon, my politics are more in the Goldwater-Reagan vein, and therefore I think many Republicans like me are very disappointed in the nomination of Mitt Romney, who's more of a Wall Street, Beltway, establishment Republican. And therefore, I think he's going to bleed some votes from the base, which most probably will lead to the election of Barack Obama.
No, that is sad to hear from somebody who's been a longtime Republican. Let me ask you, though, because of your background with political campaigns and some of the tricks that you've played over the years, this week Mitt Romney was shown on video talking about President Obama's base, which he claims 47% don't pay taxes on that. That was leaked to Mother Jones, and they made that public. Was that a gaffe on the part of candidate Romney, or was that, in fact, a political dirty trick in your mind?
Well, I think it was something that a candidate might think but not say because of the impolitic nature of it. Politics is about getting to 51%, and that calls sometimes for proper messaging that helps you attract the broadest cross-section of voters possible. The comments that Mitt Romney made, I don't think, are conducive to winning votes outside of his base. The other thing I'd say to you is, remember, one man's dirty trick is another man's civic participation. So I don't think Mother Jones perpetrated any trick here. What they did was report accurately what Romney said, and from a political point of view, probably should not have said.
All right. My guest is Roger Stone. He is the editor and publisher of thestonezone.com. We're talking about politics and the 2012 election. Roger, you're self-described as a GOP hitman. And why do you describe yourself that way?
Well, I have made a career out of beating Democrats in elections, and I did play some role in ferreting out the illegal activities, for example, of Elliot Spitzer, who, while he was crusading to make and visiting a prostitute a felony rather than a misdemeanor by day, was consorting with prostitutes by night. His crime, since I'm a libertarian, I think prostitution should actually be legal and regulated, his crime is hypocrisy, liberal hypocrisy. Liberals say one thing, they do something else. And therefore, I have been called upon, for example, in the case of the Bush-Gore recount in Miami, there was no reason to recount the votes a third time in Miami-Dade County. I didn't stop the recount. I stopped the third recount of the exact same ballots. You see, the Democrats hoped if they kept counting and kept arguing and kept challenging, maybe they could find a few more illegitimate votes. It was a power grab. It needed to be stopped, and it took some drastic tactics to do so. But at the end of the day, I'm comfortable that we did the right thing. We stopped Al Gore from grabbing an election that he, in fact, lost through his own terrible campaign.
My guest is Roger Stone. So, Roger, you have jumped parties. You've now gone from the GOP to the Libertarian Party. What drew you to Governor Gary Johnson's campaign? And Governor Johnson has been a guest on our show before, just FYI.
I think he's an extraordinarily qualified person to be president. He's being governor of a mid-sized state for 8 years. It's easy to judge when you're finished whether you have been successful. If you come to office with a deficit and you leave with a surplus, if your state had a job boom in the 8 years that you were there, if you cut taxes and spending and regulation as Johnson did, I think he demonstrated the executive ability to run something, to be president. Legislators are great, but you notice that our best presidents have been governors, I think specifically of Ronald Reagan. People who actually run something, congressmen and senators, they get to push a button that says yes or a button that says no, and they get to talk a lot, but they don't have to run anything. So I think Johnson is eminently qualified. I also agree with his views on the issues. He will end the war in Afghanistan, where we have no national interest that I can see, immediately. He will end the multi-billion-dollar war on drugs, which is both making drugs more accessible and destroying more lives at a huge cost to the taxpayers. He will repeal the Patriot Act. It's time for the government to stop spying on the people. Why are they spying on us? Why is the federal government spending $300 million on domestic drones to collect data? What data do we need on the people? He would repeal the National Defense Authorization Act, a piece of legislation under which any citizen, you, in fact, could be snatched off the street and held without bail or charges or trial indefinitely. In America, I find that hard to believe, but George W. Bush supported it, Barack Obama supports it, Mitt Romney supports it. It's a naked violation of our constitutional rights. So I think Johnson is courageous on these issues. He says what no one else says. The big ticket issues facing America, despite the fact that their rhetoric is different, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are indeed the same.
My guest is Roger Stone. So, Roger, as a political insider, what does Governor Johnson have to do as a Libertarian candidate in order to, number one, even participate in the presidential debates, and then, number two, challenge President Obama and Governor Romney?
Well, the first and most difficult part of this process is just getting on the ballot. You have to remember, the ballot access rules in the 50 states are written by Republicans and Democrats together, and they have an inherent interest in making sure there are no other choices. That process is expensive, and it's time-consuming, and labor-intensive, and it's fraught with legal challenges. The Republican Party, in this case, has thrown up armies, literally armies, of lawyers and private investigators in an illegitimate attempt to knock Governor Johnson off the ballot in Ohio and Virginia, Iowa, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire. And they have, so far, they have failed. And it appears that Johnson will be on the ballot in 50 states. Now, even as we speak, the secretaries of state in Michigan and Oklahoma are rushing to get the ballots printed so that they can argue that Johnson has no legal remedy. Oh, too late. The ballots were printed. Those public officials who make those decisions, they need to be identified to the public, and they need to be vilified, and they need to be ridiculed for being against democracy. why do Republicans, my party, for so many years, why do they fear democracy? Why do you fear an election? In the 40 years I've engaged in this business, I have never tried to knock somebody off the ballot unless they really didn't have enough legitimate signatures. In every case, the challenges to Governor Johnson are frivolous. They're false. In every case, he has enough signatures. It's just the Republicans fear competition. To the credit of Obama, he has not attempted to remove the Green Party candidate from the ballot in any state, even though you could argue that the Green Party will draw a few liberal votes from the president in a very close race. So, at least on this narrow issue, Barack Obama is more honorable than Mitt Romney.
All right, but Governor Johnson appears that he's going to be on the ballot in all 50 states, barring any sudden overturn at the end. What does he need to do to participate in the presidential debates that are coming up in October?
I think the Johnson campaign is preparing to file three separate federal lawsuits in three different jurisdictions on the basis of three different arguments to try to get into the debates. I don't know how you withhold his participation. There are really only three criteria set forward by the Presidential Debate Commission, which, by the way, is not a commission, is not a branch of the federal government, and has no official capacity. It is a nonprofit controlled by Republicans and Democrats together, an equal number of them, and their goal is to prevent the American people from having another choice. But Johnson is a natural-born citizen. That's their first rule. He will be on the ballot in states totaling 207 electoral votes, and he must be at 15%. In at least five polls. Well, I have five polls right here in my hand testing Barack Obama and Gary Johnson in several states and testing Gary Johnson versus Mitt Romney in several states. And Johnson is at 15% when tested against one candidate. Now, you say that's unreasonable? Why is it more unreasonable than Gallup, which doesn't ask Gary Johnson's name? They're not testing all the candidates. So I would argue Johnson has met the narrow requirement. He should be allowed to participate. If he's not, it will be an outrage.
All right. My guest is Roger Stone. He is the editor and the publisher of Stone Zone. So, Roger, taking a look at your background, how do you plan to help Governor Johnson in his campaign? Do you have any direct responsibilities in that campaign?
Well, I'm a general advisor. I've helped him in terms of the ballot access process, in terms of getting on the ballot. I'm helping formulate a strategy to shoo our way into the debates. I think we have a reasonable chance to do that. I think it's a question of getting in front of a fair-minded judge, because I think we've met the criteria. I don't know on what basis should he be denied access. He's not a real candidate. He's just as much a real candidate as Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, because I think candidacy is defined by being on the ballot. That's what defines a candidacy. Hmm. He's constitutionally eligible to be president based on his citizenship, so I don't know on what basis you should deny it. He shouldn't be in the debate because he doesn't belong to one of the two major parties. That's an unfair criteria.
All right. My guest is Roger Stone. Roger, I'm going to change it up on you just a little bit, because throughout your 40-year career, you've been involved in helping to turn campaigns using different political tactics. So my question for you is, are the political tactics, have they moved from the real-world sphere and moved on to the Internet? Is that where we're starting to see the real tactics of politics taking place?
You know, I think that the Internet has been very good for the democratization of the process, with a small d. It used to be that if it wasn't in the New York Times, it didn't happen. The average citizen had no voice, and the New York Times had a disproportionate voice. Now, StoneZone.com, you can go there right now. I've got as big a voice as the New York Times, theoretically. I have a chance to say my piece, and people can read it or they can not read it. You might not choose to read the New York Times. You might choose to read StoneZone.com. Others might choose to read the New York Times and not StoneZone.com. But the point is, the information previously unavailable is now available to everyone. So I think the Internet has really opened up the process. Blogging and that whole process provides voters with more information. It's harder and harder for the Republicans and the Democrats, for example, to make sure that no one hears about Gary Johnson by keeping him out of the major news outlets. If Fox and CNN and CBS and ABC and NBC don't report his existence, then there's no way previously for people to know he is alive. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Anyone who wants to learn about Gary Johnson can just go on the Internet.
That is very true, Roger. But you also see with the democratization, small d, of all of this information about the political parties, you also see things like the birther movement come up with President Barack Obama. Now, that has really never died down on the internet, although mainstream media has let that go. What are your thoughts on rumors and innuendo such as the birther movement?
Unfortunately, neither you nor I knows whether that's a rumor or an innuendo until Donald Trump, a mainstream figure, brought it up. It was seriously ignored by the mainstream media, meaning the fact that there was a movement, that there was some substantial subsegment of Americans who raised a legitimate question. Because under our Constitution, they have a right to question whether he was born where he was born. They may be wrong about that, but I support their right to ask the question. They weren't allowed that by the national media until, ironically, of all people, Donald Trump raised it. And by the way, when he goes on Fox and he raises that question, the ratings soar. Millions of people tune in for some reason. So, yes, just like in the old days, you had to sort out what you read in the New York Times was true or untrue. And by the way, the New York Times wrote a lot of things that weren't true. One also must sort out on the internet. But I believe in the intelligence of the people. I trust the people to sort out their information and make decisions for themselves.
Roger, one last question. It's no secret that you're not a fan of the Clintons, President Obama, and Eliot Spitzer. But what I did find interesting, that you're not a fan of Karl Rove either. And I find that interesting because you were part of the 1970s College Republican Conservatives that included the likes of Karl Rove and Terry Dolan. Why is it that your opinions, your thoughts have changed on Rove?
Well, they haven't changed. They didn't like him then, don't like him now. Terry Dolan was the best man in my wedding. We were roommates in Georgetown for a while. And he was one of the co-founders of the National Conservative Political Action Committee. By the way, Terry despised Karl Rove, because Rove is not a conservative. Rove is an operative, and he is not without talent. And my hat's off to him for getting a dummy like George W. Bush through two presidential elections. But I don't believe he's about principle. I believe he's about the money. Let's be very clear. His various political endeavors this year to help defeat Obama will allow him personally to pocket $35-40 million. So he's a businessman. He's a capitalist. All of that's fine, but don't hold yourself out as a principled ideologue if you're really in it for the money.
My guest has been Roger Stone, who is the editor and publisher of The Stone Zone. Roger, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about The Stone Zone, where would you direct them to go?
StoneZone.com. It gets dated every Monday morning. Just wrote a tremendous piece about the changes that were very quietly made in the Republican Party rules to ensure that there'll be no challenges to President Mitt Romney for re-election.
That is great. Roger, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you.